We're going to pray for our time together now. And before we pray, we're going to have the first half of our main Bible reading, which is 1 Chronicles. If you're following on the church Bibles, it's 336. And we're going to be reading chapters 4 to 7 this morning. I'm going to start by reading chapters 4 and 5, and then our leaders in prayer. Just to say, there's much to say about these extended genealogies, but we can say, even from the start, if we don't read them together, when are we going to read them? So for now, I will read these first two chapters, you can follow, and then I'll pray for us. So starting at 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, verse 1, says this. The sons of Judah: Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, and Shobal. Re'ea, the son of Shobal, fathered Jahath. And Jahath fathered Ahumai and Lahad. These were the clans of the Zorathites. These were the sons of Etam: Jezreel, Ishma, and Idbash. And the name of their sister was Hazelponi. And Penuel fathered Gedor, and Azza fathered Husha. These were the sons of Hur, the firstborn of Ephrathah, the father of Bethlehem. Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Nara. Nara bore him Ahuzam, Hepher, Temeni, and Hahasdari. These were the sons of Nara, the sons of Hela, Zereth, Izhar, and Ethnan. Koz fathered Anab, Zobidah, and the clans of Ahahel, the son of Haram. Jabez was more honourable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, that your hand might be with me, and that you might keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain." And God granted what he asked. Chelub, the brother of Shuha, fathered Mehir, who fathered Eshton. Eshton fathered Beth Rapha, Pasea, and Teina, father of Ir Nahash. These are the men of Rekah, the sons of Kenaz, Othniel, and Sariah, and the sons of Othniel, Hathath, and Meonothai. Meonothai fathered Ophrah, and Sariah fathered Joab, father of Ge-Harashim, so called because they were craftsmen. The sons of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Iru, Ela, and Naam, and the son of Ela, Kenaz. The sons of Jahalelel, Ziph, Zipha, Tiriah, and Asarel. The sons of Ezra, Jether, Mered, Epher, and Jalon. These are the sons of Bithiah, the daughter of Pharaoh, whom Mered married. And she conceived and bore Miriam, Shammai, and Ishba, the father of Eshtimoah. And his Judahite wife bore Jered, the father of Gedor, Heber, the father of Soko, and Jekuthiel, the father of Zanoah. The sons of the wife of Hodiah, the sister of Naham, were the fathers of Kila and the Garmite, and Eshtemoah the Maccathite. The sons of Shimon: Amnon, Rinna, Ben-Hanna, and Tilon. The sons of Ishi: Zoheth and Ben-Zoheth. The sons of Shelah: the son of Judah, the father of Lekah, Lada, the father of Marsha, and the clans of the house of linen workers at Beth Ashbeah, and Jokim, and the men of Kozibah, and Joash, and Saraph, who ruled in Moab and returned to Lehem. Now the records are ancient. These were the potters, who were inhabitants of Netaim and Gedera. They lived there in the king's service. The sons of Simeon: Nemuel, Jamin, Jarab, Zerah, Shol. Shalom was his son. Mibsam, his son. Mishma, his son. The sons of Mishma, Hamuel, his son. Zakur, his son. Shimeel, his son. Shimei had 16 sons and 6 daughters, but his brothers did not have many children, nor did all their clan multiply like the men of Judah. They lived in Beersheba, Molada, Hazar, Shua, Milha, Ezem, Tolad, Bethuel, Horma, Ziklag, Beth, Markaboth, Hazar, Susim, Beth, Biri, and Sharaim. These were the cities until David reigned, and their villages were Etam, Ain, Rimmon, Token, and Ashan, 5 cities, along with all their villages that were around these cities as far as Baal. These were their settlements, and they kept a genealogical record. Meshobab, Jamlek, Joshua, the sons of Amaziah, Joel, Jehu, the son of Joshibia, son of Zariah, son of Asiel, Elionai, Jacobah, Jeshohiah, Azariah, Adil, Jezimiel, Benaiah, Ziza, the son of Shifi, son of Alon, son of Jediah, son of Shimri, son of Shemaiah. These mentioned by name were princes in their clans, and their father's houses increased greatly. They journeyed to the entrance of Gedor, to the east side of the valley, to seek pasture for their flocks, where they found rich, good pasture, and the land was very broad, quiet, and peaceful, for the former inhabitants there belonged to Ham. These, registered by name, came in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and destroyed their tents and the Menuites who were found there, and marked them for destruction to this day, and settled in their place, because there was pasture there for their flocks. And some of them, 500 men of the Simeonites, went to Mount Seir, having as their leaders Pelatiah, Neariah, Rephaiah, and Uziel, the sons of Ishi. And they defeated the remnant of the Amalekites who had escaped, and they have lived there to this day. The sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel. For he was the firstborn, but because he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph, the sons of Israel, so that he could not be enrolled as the oldest son. Though Judah became strong among his brothers, and a chief came from him, yet the birthright belonged to Joseph. The sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel. Hanok, Palu, Hezron, and Carmi, the sons of Joel, Shimei his son, Gog his son, Shimei his son, Micah his son, Re'eah his son, Baal his son, Barah his son, whom Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, carried away into exile. He was a chief of the Reubenites, and his kinsmen by their clans, when the genealogy of their generations was recorded. The chief, Jeiel, and Zechariah, and Bela, the son of Azaz, son of Shema, son of Joel, who lived in Aroer as far as Nebo and Baal Meon. He also lived in the east as far as the entrance of the desert this side of the Euphrates, because their livestock had multiplied in the land of Gilead. And in the days of Saul, they waged war against the Hagrites, who fell into their hands, and they lived in their tents throughout all the region east of Gilead. The sons of Gad lived over against them in the land of Bashan as far as Salaka. Joel the chief, Shapham the second, Janai and Shaphat in Bashan, and their kinsmen according to their fathers' houses. Michael, Meshullam, Sheba, Jerai, Jachan, Zia, and Eber, 7. These were the sons of Abihail, the son of Huri, son of Jarara, son of Gilead, son of Michael, son of Jesh Ishai, son of Jadol, son of Buz, Ahi, the son of Abdiel, son of Guni, was chief in their father's houses, and they lived in Gilead, in Bashan, and in its towns, and in all the pasture lands of Sharon to their limits. All of these were recorded in genealogies in the days of Jotham, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, king of Israel. The Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh had valiant men who carried shield and sword and drew the bow, expert in war, 44,760 able to go to war. They waged war against the Hagrites, Jetur, Naphish, and Nodab. And when they prevailed over them, the Hagrites and all who were with them were given into their hands, for they cried out to God in the battle, and he granted their urgent plea because they trusted in him. They carried off their livestock, 50,000 of their camels, 250,000 sheep, 2,000 donkeys, and 100,000 men alive. For many fell because the war was of God, and they lived in their place until the exile. The members of the half-tribe of Manasseh lived in the land. They were very numerous, from Bashan to Baal Hermon, Seir and Mount Hermon. These were the heads of their father's houses, Epher, Ishi, Eliel, Azrael, Jeremiah, Hodaviah, and Jadiel, mighty warriors, famous men, heads of their father's houses. But they broke faith with the God of their fathers and whored after the gods of the people of the land whom God had destroyed before them. So the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, the spirit of Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and he took them into exile, namely the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and brought them to Halah, Habor, Hara, and the river Gozan to this day. I'll leave it there for now, and let's pray for our time together. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you from the very beginning of creation that you planned to have a people for your very own. That whilst you dwelt with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, your intention was for them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That the boundary of the garden was to expand in order to encompass the whole earth, and that you would dwell with your people who have filled and subdued your creation. We thank you how the Bible ends with just such a picture, that in the new heaven and the new earth, your dwelling place is with your people. That you will dwell with them, and they will be your people, and you yourself will be with them as their God. Help us today, we pray, as we consider your people, Israel, and their history as your people in the books of Chronicles. Help us to place who they are in the wider scheme of your people in the Bible and your plan for them. Help us to see not only the Davidic hope that you have set among the offspring of Judah, but that that Davidic hope will be for the benefit of all the other descendants of Israel. Help us to understand how hope in the Bible works, and that in so doing, we might understand more fully your plan for the world and our place in it. Amen. In terms of notices, just to say there is some cold water through double doors at the back on the right, so it is warm. So if you do need to refresh yourself, then do help yourself to some water. Otherwise, the next 7 days in the life of Trinity Church are as follows. After this, stick around. There's likely that some kind of refreshment will be passed around. Today is last open home before we break until September. So I'm hosting that at Avondale. So you're very welcome to join. More time together, continue to discuss issues of Chronicles and other things you might be thinking about. So I'll come around and ask if you want to join us for that. There is no TNT, no Equipped to Serve today. It's also a half-term break. Growth Group is back on Wednesday. That is at Fisher's. And we're back in the book of Zechariah. Then we're back here, Trinity, at 10:30 next Sunday for more Chronicles. Since this is the last open home, that means, of course, that next Sunday you start picnics in the park. If you've not done that with us before, basically, those who want to, after the service, we've packed up here, we head to Roberts Park. We have our own tree, which we sit under. If there's other people there, we turf them. No, we don't turf them out. We find another spot. You can bring your picnic rugs, bring food, because we don't supply food. So you can have your packing up, you can bring it to church with you or pop home. There are places where you can buy stuff for in and around. And then we can hang out together, sometimes play the odd game. And that's that. And also next week, we have TNT and Equipped to Serve to the park. If you're involved in those things, you'll have to leave the park at some point for those groups. Otherwise, I think that's it for now. In which case, we're going to sing our next song, which is a prayer. And then we'll have the rest of our reading and message this morning. Okay, so we're going to have the rest of our reading, which is 1 Chronicles 6 and 7. And this is page 338 of the Church Bibles. 1 Chronicles 6, starting at verse 1, says this. The sons of Levi. Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The sons of Kohath, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. The children of Amram, Aaron, Moses, and Miriam. The sons of Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Eleazar fathered Phinehas. Phinehas fathered Abishua. Abishua fathered Bukki. Bukki fathered Uzi. Uzi fathered Zerahiah. Zerahiah fathered Meraioth. Meraioth fathered Amariah. Amariah fathered Ahitub. Ahitub fathered Zadok. Zadok fathered Ahimaaz. Ahimaaz fathered Azariah. Azariah fathered Jehanan. Jehanan fathered Azariah. It was he who served as a priest in the house that Solomon built in Jerusalem. Azariah fathered Amariah. Amariah fathered Ahitub. Ahitub fathered Zadok. Zadok fathered Shalom. Shalom fathered Hilkiah. Hilkiah fathered Azariah. Azariah fathered Seraiah. Seraiah fathered Jehozadak. And Jehozadak went into exile when the Lord sent Judah and Jerusalem into exile by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. The sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. These are the names of the sons of Gershon. Libni and Shimei. The sons of Kohath, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. The sons of Merari, Mahli, and Mushi. These are the clans of the Levites according to their fathers. Of Gershom, Libni his son, Jahath his son, Zimmah his son, Joah his son, Ido his son, Zerah his son, Jethari his son. The sons of Kohath, Aminadab his son, Korah his son, Asir his son, Hakana his son, Abiasaph his son, Asir his son, Tahath his son, Uriel his son, Uzziah his son, and Shira his son. The sons of Elkanah, Amasai, and Ahimoth. Elkanah his son, Zophai his son, Nahath his son, Eliab his son, Jeroham his son, Elkanah his son. The sons of Samuel, Joel his firstborn, the second Abijah. The sons of Merari, Mahli, Libni his son, Shimei his son, Uzai his son, Shimeah his son, Haggiah his son, and Asaiah his son. These are the men who David put in charge of the service of song in the house of the Lord after the ark rested there. They ministered with song before the tabernacle of the tent of meeting until Solomon built the house of the Lord of Jerusalem. And they performed their service according to their order. These are the men who served and their sons. The sons of the Kohathites, Heman the singer and the son of Joel, son of Samuel, son of Elkanah, son of Jeroham, son of Eliel, son of Toa, son of Zuf, son of Elkanah, son of Mahath, son of Amasi, son of Elkanah, son of Joel, son of Azariah, son of Zephaniah, son of Tahath, son of Asir, son of Ebiasaph, son of Korah, son of Izhar, son of Kohath, son of Levi, son of Israel. And his brother Asaph, who stood on his right hand, namely Asaph, the son of Berechiah, son of Shemaiah, son of Michael, son of Phasiah, son of Malkijah, son of Ethni, son of Zerah, son of Adiah, son of Ethan, son of Zimmah, son of Shimei, son of Jahath, son of Gershom, son of Levi. On the left hand were their brothers, the sons of Merari, Ethan, the son of Kishi, the son of Abdi, the son of Malak, the son of Hashabiah, son of Amaziah, son of Hilkiah, son of Amzi, son of Bani, son of Shema, son of Mali, son of Mushi, son of Maari, son of Levi. And their brothers, the Levites, were appointed for all the service of the tabernacle of the house of God. But Aaron and his sons made offerings on the altar of burnt offering and on the altar of incense for all the work of the Most High place, and to make atonement for Israel according to all that Moses, the servant of God, had commanded. These are the sons of Aaron: Eleazar his son, Phinehas his son, Abishua his son, Bukki his son, Uzi his son, Zerahiah his son, Me'ioth his son, Amari his son, Ahitub his son, Zadok his son, Ahamaz his son. These are their dwelling places according to their settlements within their borders. To sons of Aaron of the clans of Kohathites, for theirs was the first lot. To them they gave Hebron and the land of Judah and its surrounding pasture lands. But the fields of the city and its villages they gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. To the sons of Aaron they gave the cities of refuge, Hebron, Libna, with its pasture lands, Jatir, Eshtemoa, with its pasture lands, Hillen, with its pasture lands, Debir, with its pasture lands, Asham, with its pasture lands, and Beth Shemesh, with its pasture lands. And from the tribe of Benjamin, Gibeon, Geba, with its pasture lands, Alameth, with its pasture lands, and Anathoth, with its pasture lands. All their cities throughout their clans were 13. To the rest of the Kohathites were given by lot, out of the clan of the tribe, out of the half tribe, the half of Manasseh, 10 cities. To the Gershomites, according to their clans, were allotted 13 cities out of the tribes of Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and Manasseh in Bashan. To the Merarites, according to their clans, were allotted 12 cities out of the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Zebulun. So the people of Israel gave the Levites the cities with their pasture lands. They gave by lot out of the tribes of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin these cities that are mentioned by name. And some of the clans of the sons of Kohath had cities of their territory out of the tribe of Ephraim. They were given the cities of refuge: Shechem with its pasture lands in the hill country of Ephraim, Gezer with its pasture lands, Jokneam with its pasture lands, Beth Horon with its pasture lands, Ajahalon with its pasture lands, Gath Rinnon with its pasture lands, and out of the half tribe of Manasseh, Anna with its pasture lands, and Bileam with its pasture lands, for the rest of the clans of the Kohathites. To the Goshenites were given out of the clans of the half tribe of Manasseh, Golan and Bashan with its pasture lands, and Ashtaroth with its pasture lands, and out of the tribe of Issachar, Kadesh with its pasture lands, Dabareth with its pasture lands, Ramoth with its pasture lands, and Anem with its pasture lands. Out of the tribe of Asher, Mashal with its pasture lands, Abdon with its pasture lands, Hukok with its pasture lands, and Rehob with its pasture lands. And out of the tribe of Naphtali, Kadesh in Galilee with its pasture lands, Hamon with its pasture lands, and Kiriathaim with its pasture lands. So the rest of the Merarites were allotted out of the tribe of Zebulun, Rimmonoth with its pasture lands, Tabor with its pasture lands, beyond the Jordan, Jericho, on the east side of the Jordan, out of the tribe of Reuben, Bezer in the wilderness with its pasture lands, Jazar with its pasture lands, Kedemoth with its pasture lands, and Methath with its pasture lands, and out of a tribe of Gad, Ramoth in Gilead with its pasture lands, Mahanaim with its pasture lands, Heshbon with its pasture lands, and Jazer with its pasture lands. The sons of Issachar: Tola, Pua, Jashub, and Shimron. Four. The sons of Tola: Uzi, Raphaiah, Jeriel, Jamai, Ibsam, and Shimu, heads of their father's houses, namely of Tola, mighty warriors of their generations, their number in the days of David being 22,600. The sons of Uzi: Izrahiah, and the sons of Izrahiah: Michael, Obadiah, Joel, and Ishiah, all five of them were chief men. And along with them, by their generations, according to their father's houses, were units of the army for war, 36,000, for they had many wives and sons. Their kinsmen belonged to all the clans of Issachar, were in all 87,000 mighty warriors enrolled by genealogy. The sons of Benjamin: Bela, Besha, and Jediel. Three. The sons of Bela: Esbon, Uzi, Uziel, Jerimoth, and Iri. Five heads of fathers' houses, mighty warriors, and their enrollment by genealogies was 22,034. The sons of Besha: Zimmerah, Joash, Eliezer, Elionai, Omri, Jerimoth, Abijah, Anathoth, and Alameth. All these were the sons of Besha, and their enrollment by genealogies according to their generations as heads of their fathers' houses, mighty warriors, was 20,200. The sons of Jediel: Bilhan, and the sons of Bilhan: Jewish, Benjamin, Ehud, Chenanah, Zethan, Tarshish, and Ahishahar. All these were the sons of Jediel, according to the heads of their father's houses, mighty warriors, 17,200, able to go to war. And Shuphim and Huppim were the sons of Ur, Hushim the sons of Ahur. The sons of Naphtali: Jaziel, Guni, Jezer, and Shalom, descendants of Bilhal. The sons of Manasseh: Azriel, whom his Aramean concubine bore. She bore Machir, the father of Gilead, and Machir took a wife for Huppim and for Shuppim. The name of his sister was Makkah, and the name of the second was Zelophehad, and Zelophehad had daughters. And Makkah, the wife of Machir, bore a son, and she called his name Peresh, and the name of his brother was Sheresh. And his sons were Ulam and Rakem, the sons of Ulam, Bedam. These were the sons of Gilead, the son of Machir, son of Manasseh. And his sister, Hamoleketh, bore Ishod, Abizur, and Mala. The sons of Shemida were Ahiain, Shechem, Liki, and Aniam. The sons of Ephraim: Shuthelah, and Bered his son, Tahath his son, Eliada his son, Tahath his son, Zabad his son, Shuthelah his son, and Ezer and Eliad, whom the men of Gath, who were born in the land, killed, because they came down to raid their livestock. And Ephraim their father mourned many days, and his brothers came to comfort him. And Ephraim went into his wife, and she conceived and bore a son. And he called his name Beriah, because disaster had befallen his house. His daughter was Sherah, who built both Lower and Upper Beth-horon, and Uzen Sherah. Rephath was his son, Resheph his son, Telah his son, Tahan his son, Ladan his son, Aminhud his son, Elishama his son, Nun his son, Joshua his son. Their possessions and settlements were Bethel and its towns, and to the east Naran, and to the west Giza and its towns, Shechem and its towns, and Aya and its towns, also in possession of the Manassites, Beth Shean and its towns, Tanakh and its towns, Megiddo and its towns, Dor and its towns. And these lived the sons of Joseph, the sons of Israel. The sons of Asher: Imnah, Ishva, Ishvi, Beriah, and their sister Sarah. The sons of Beriah: Heba and Malkiel, who fathered Berzaith. Heba fathered Japhlet, Shomer, Hotham, and their sister Shua. The sons of Japhlet: Pasach, Bimhal, and Ashbath. These are the sons of Japhlet. The sons of Shemer, his brother, Rogah, Shehuba, and Aram. The sons of Helam, his brother, Zophah, Imnah, Shelesh, and Imal. The sons of Zophah: Shua, Hanifa, Shua, Beri, Imra, Beza, Hod, Shama, Shilsha, Ithran, and Berea. The sons of Jetha, Shephunna, Pispah, and Ara. The sons of Ula, Arad, Haniel, and Riziah. All of these were men of Asher, heads of fathers' houses, approved mighty warriors, chiefs of the princes. Their number enrolled by genealogy for service in war was 26,000 men. Okay, so we're going to spend a few minutes looking at this together. There is an outline of where we're going, and you've got a bit of bonus material on your outline. So if you haven't got one, it is worth getting one from the back, because it's a little bit of gold from Chronicles. There will be question time at the end. I think if we're just all too warm, we skip that, but we'll see how we go. But you can always chat afterwards. But we plan to have question time for questions and comments. But before we go any further, let's pray and ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible, and how it is for our benefit to read it and understand it, to know you better, and what it means to relate to you as your people. And we pray, please, for the same Spirit who inspired the chronicler to write Chronicles, and not least these chapters of genealogies, that same Spirit will illuminate our minds as we just sang and prayed, to understand why these records are of value. Please help us not only to see what they would have meant for the first readers, but also how it fits into the wider scheme of your plan and purpose for the world. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Last week, we explored the idea that genealogies in the Bible don't just trace backwards, but they push forward to the divine goal. We saw it in a way that the chronicler was tracing not an exhausted ancestry of the whole world, but the interest was on Israel, then Judah, and finally David. And there was that extraordinary piece in chapter 3 where the chronicler continued the line of David to generations well after the return of the exiles from Babylon. I put it on the back of the handout for you. Let me just make a couple of comments. You can see the different stages of the kingdom. So you've got David, chapter 3, verse 1, then his son Solomon, chapter 3, verse 10. Then you have the subsequent kings of Judah. This is after the kingdoms divided under Solomon. You might recognize some of the names. Then you have the exile, where Jeconiah or Jehoiachin was the last king, as it were. And then you've got their return from exile. And this is where it's interesting, because you have this significant survival of the Davidic line afterwards. You might be wondering why there's a plus after some names. Nathan's helped me with the formatting this. The plus means if you read chapter 3, we're told a bit more about the people with a plus, some more about their other offspring. So when you follow it, there are other names. But this is the Davidic line. As far as I know, this is nowhere else in the Old Testament. Okay, this is part of the gold of Chronicles. And as such, we're to understand that this is a pushing forward to the divine goal, not simply because God didn't wipe everybody out. No, we're not just saying that there's hope because not everyone's dead. But it's because the promise of God was given to this line. Judah was told in Genesis 49 verse 10 that the scepter shall not depart from Judah. And then David was promised in 2 Samuel 7:16 that the house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. See, if the Judah line died, that promise would have died with it. If the Davidic line had come to an end, then the promise would also have come to an end. And you can imagine four returned exiles who were deeply disappointed that knowing that the continuing line of the succession of the Davidic dynasty was extremely significant. But it's interesting that the genealogies are not done with by the end of chapter 3. In our section this morning, we will look at the genealogies of some of the other tribes of Israel. And interestingly, they're not dealt with in quite the same way as Judah. And it raises an important question. What is the relationship between these other tribes and the Davidic hope? Or to put it another way, who is the Davidic hope for? Now, in amongst the genealogy of Judah, there is this prayer of Jabez. Now, you may have heard of this because it was the basis of a very popular book called The Prayer of Jabez by Bruce Wilkson about a breaking through to the blessed life. And he sought to explain how one simple daily prayer can help us leave the past behind and break through to the extravagantly blessed life that we were meant to live. Now, we have the advantage of seeing this prayer within the context of Chronicles. So let's take a look and see what we can understand from it. Let me start by reading it again in 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10. So Jabez was more honourable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain." And God granted what he asked. Well, the story begins with the situation to be accounted for. That is, verse 9, Jabez was more honourable than his brothers. And this creates something of a paradox, because how could anybody by the name of Jabez be honourable? The story tells us how he was given this unfortunate name in the first place. It was because his mother bore him in pain, perhaps alluding to Genesis 3:16 and the curse of God. But in verse 10, we're told how Jabez averted its danger with his prayer to God. And the story concludes with God granted what he asked, which provides the reason why at the beginning we're told that he was more honourable than his brothers. You can put it this way. point of the story is a reversal of fortunes. Rather than be characterized by the curse and the pain of it, Jabez prays to God and his fortunes are reversed. Now, no more is said, but it's interesting in a book that's addressing the deep disappointment of God's people who have returned from exile. Could it be that the chronicler sees a parallel here between Israel and Jabez? Does the chronicler see in it a foreshadowing of the reversal of Israel's fortunes? In which case, the prayer of Jabez is less about the individualistic health and prosperity of a person and how to manipulate God. Rather, it's indicative that God has promised to bless his people, and the chronicler sees some correspondence with Israel's predicament and what they should expect in the future. Perhaps one of the striking features of the genealogies of the other tribes of Israel is the space given to the tribe of Levi. The whole of chapter 6 is devoted to that. And I wonder what you made of verses 31 and 32. Let me read them again for us. So 6:31, these are the men whom David put in charge of the service of song in the house of the Lord after the ark rested there. They ministered with song before the tabernacle of the tent of meeting until Solomon built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. And they performed their service according to their order. Now, these verses introduce the genealogical trees of the three head singers, but they explain why, in addition to the three main lines of the Levites, that the singers are recorded separately. So, before the ark came to rest in Jerusalem, the Levites were given the task of carrying the ark. But with the permanent coming to rest of the ark in Jerusalem, some changes needed to be made among the Levites. And this change was brought about by David. Freed from the task of carrying the ark, the Levites were assigned other roles, the most important of which was the service of song in the house of the Lord. But what then are we to make of the prominence given to this tribe by the chronicler? Might it reflect the chronicler's concern about the restoration of proper worship among God's people? Now, if we're right that biblical genealogies don't just trace backwards but push forwards to the divine goal, does not the prominence of this tribe shape a vision for restored Israel after the exile? It's interesting how the chronicler links David and the Levites in this regard. David's portrayed not only as king, but as organizer of service in the house of the Lord. Well, as you look at some of the other genealogies of the tribes, they do seem quite different from chapters 1 to 3. So chapters 1 to 3, as we've seen, are very definitely pushing forwards. But as we went through the genealogies, there was some horizontal filling out, but the emphasis was on vertical progression. And it was the chronicler's interest in a particular line that ultimately went through Israel, Judah, David. But we don't have that with the genealogies of the other tribes so much. And they certainly don't trace their history beyond the return from exile, like we saw with the tribe of Judah and David's line. If anything, the genealogies of the other tribes are more like a census, counting of the people. For example, look again at chapter 7, verses 1 to 5. Starts there with the sons of Issachar, who are listed, and then we're told they're mighty warriors of their generation, their number in the days of David being 22,600. And then as the sons of Uzzi is unpacked, you go down to verse 4, and along with them, by their generations, according to their fathers' houses, were units of the army for war, 36,000. They had many wives and sons. Their kinsmen belonging to all the clans of Issachar were in all 87,000 mighty warriors enrolled by genealogy. So though we're told in verse 1 who are the sons of Issachar, and then the descendants of Tola are unpacked in verses 3 to 4, and then in verse 5 you've got all the others. What's interesting here is that this genealogical registration is presented explicitly as a result of a census in the days of David. It's a census in that the people have been counted. We're told that among the descendants of Issachar there were 87,000 mighty warriors. And this was counted in the days of David because that's what we're told, verse 2. So rather than a genealogy pushing forwards, this is more of a census of the people of God at the time of David. This is about who the people of God are and their number. It's identifying the people of God. Now, as it happens, one of the chroniclers' favourite expressions, though we've not met it yet, but as a heads up, will be all Israel. He says it over and over again. Even in passages where in Samuel and Kings, that expression isn't used. Its first occurrence is in, is in 1 Chronicles 9 verse 1, which reads, all Israel is recorded in genealogies. Now, it's quite striking because the chronicler wrote after the exile, when the northern kingdom disappeared, Judah had returned to Babylon, and Israel's unity looked shattered. Yet Chronicles repeatedly speaks of all Israel. Now, so I take it that whilst the chronicler's concern is the tribe of Judah and the hope the Davidic line will bring, it's a hope that is connected with and shared by all Israel. The Davidic king is the king of all Israel. And the rest that he will bring from their enemies is a rest that all Israel will one day enjoy. We began by asking, having focused in on one particular genealogy of David, how does it relate to the other genealogies of the other tribes? Their genealogies aren't traced in the same way. Only David's genealogy goes beyond the return from exile. And what we've seen is that whilst there is a promise that's particular to David's line, it is a promise all Israel will benefit from. And you can see how this might have impacted the first readers. There is this disappointment that the returned exiles had. It's because what that they were experiencing didn't look like the glorious renewal the prophets had seemed to promise. And the chronicler is not wanting simply to say that there is promise, hope within David's line still, but there is promise for all of God's people. And I suspect that one of the things that we'll get to think about as we go through Chronicles is how we think about hope. How we think about biblical hope and how that compares with other hopes that are on offer. One that you'll be familiar with if you've been at Trinity for a time is the hope according to a philosopher called Bloch. Even if you don't know his name, you'll probably recognise his thought. For his was the idea that we imagine the world we would like it to be, and then we work towards that. That is the engine of hope, working towards the world that we all want. But one of the interesting things about that hope is that even if we were to get to the human goal, will we get to be there? It may take generations to achieve, in which case our children's children might enjoy it, but will we be with them to enjoy it with them? And this forms a very striking contrast with biblical hope, because the hope that the Bible offers is one that all of God's people will enjoy. Although not published at the time of the chronicler, the hope of which he spoke was not just for those who are around when God's king is finally installed, but ultimately all who believe in him will be raised to life to be part of his kingdom, which will last forever. Well, let me pray, and then we'll see how we get on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you how the chronicler moves not only from establishing where hope is to be found in the line of David, but who this hope is for your people. We thank you that the scope of the reign of your Son will ultimately be the whole world. And we thank you that as we look back, we can now see that whoever believes in him will benefit from his victory over his enemies and the rest that he establishes in his kingdom. Amen. What do we think? Questions or comments? Let's see how it goes. No one says anything. Oh, Matt, there we go. Yeah. Yeah. Where is that, sorry? In verse. Yeah. Yeah. That's a fair question. So the question in short is basically, how does chapter 4 verse 1 compare with chapter 2 verse 3? I'm not sure I know the answer, so I probably might just look it up, unless anyone comes to my aid. One of the things that I'm just going to stall for a minute, is we looked at last week is, remember, like we had Caleb and Kalubai, and they were the same person. And one of the things you go through as you read, you do pick up these discrepancies, and a large part of the commentator is asking and answering questions like you have just asked. There were so many of them, I think I lost the will to read all of them. But I did say if you had one, I would look it up. So yeah, can I come back to you on that? I mean, the good news is you don't need to worry. It all works. But yep. Anybody else? Caroline, have you got the answer? Yeah. Yes, so it's an interesting question about the fact that in Manasseh, but there's other places where girls are mentioned, and it's in a world of genealogies, often you just get sons, sort of trace it down. So, I mean, the commentator didn't say anything about that. The only thing, the sort of the big thought I had, and I guess one of the issues, I mean, it's fair enough because you guys are asking specific questions about text, is try and keep the big picture. But I guess one of the striking differences between 1-3 and 6-7 is 1-3 is tracing this Davidic line, which is the hope, whereas 4-7 is more of a census feel for who are the people of God. And so I guess there that the aim of the chronicler isn't simply just to say, you know, what's the line, because in many ways there isn't a line to follow in the other tribes as there is in the tribe of David because of the promise made to David. So I guess that at least allows a slightly broader thing to think within the people of God. There are women, as you say, that's amazing. There's a woman who's built two towns, you just think two cities, you just think, yeah, he's just thrown in, but you just think they're all part of people. So there's that. Go on. Yep. Okay, what's that reference, Numbers? We've got a verse. Oh, there we go. Yeah, I won't read it out. Yes, that's in other words, there were no men, so therefore they were given an inheritance anyway. So that's helpful. Thank you. Time for more? Go on, Susie. Yes, when we have son of, is it a direct son of? One thing we're reading through was he chronically uses quite a number of different phrases. Because, you know, some says son of, or so and so fathered somebody, or beget. It's not like, it's not very uniform. Yeah, yeah, it's sort of like it's quite, it's quite a diverse sort of genre. I think the son of is definitely can be used as a descendant of, as opposed to the next, you know, like what we would say a son of, which would be the next descendant. So I think it's a more flexible word. I think another one we didn't talk about, but a discrepancy back in chapter, or apparent discrepancy back in chapter 2, was about the brothers, the sisters of David. So sisters of David in 2:16. I can't remember. I'm not sure David actually has any sisters, but I think their sisters is like a close relative of. So I think in our armory these words can be used more. I need to check that, so I may not be right. But things used can be used more broadly than we would use, which I guess would be a route to begin to answer Matt's question, because we're not just saying these are Judah's sons. These are Judah's sons, how do they come on? But these are Judah's descendants. These are Judah's descendants. As Matt was trying to work out, actually, you can find the descendants, the sons of Judah in chapter 4 within the first genealogy in chapter 2. So in that sense, that's how it's sort of working. Yeah. Which I think is a helpful thing. I think in understanding genealogies, there is a, you have to kind of get into it a bit, like, you know, we looked at in chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, where sometimes you're just given a list of names. Sometimes there, that's vertical progression. Sometimes it's also horizontal. So you kind of got to keep your wits about you. Right, with that said, Tom can do the next chapter next week. We're going to sing. What are we going to sing? Why Do Nations Rage? And you'll get an answer in the song. As a final reflection, let me read a few verses from Luke's Gospel, if I may. Luke 1, 26, verse 26 says this. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary's son Jesus is the king that God promised he would bring from David's family. And in verse 33, we're told that he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Now, whilst the forever part of this phrase is very important, I just want to focus for a moment on the first part of this phrase, which is easy to gloss over. He will reign over the house of Jacob. Now, it does form a parallel with that phrase about the throne of David. After all, David did rule over the house of Jacob. And we say that because he ruled over the 12 tribes who trace their ancestry back to Jacob and his sons. But by Jesus' time, the phrase house of Jacob, well, That's come to have extra poignancy, almost a tinge of sadness or bitterness. For David's kingdom, Solomon's kingdom, had split, and the people of Israel, the house of Jacob, had divided, and in fact divided against each other. And once we've got that in our mind, we begin to see what then the angel Gabriel was hinting at when he talks about a king over the house of Jacob. He is saying that God's people aren't going to be divided any longer, that they're going to be united again, one people under this one great king. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your plan to unite your people, to be one people, is to be accomplished by the installation of your great king. We thank you that king's now been identified as the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you're the God who keeps his promises, and it's through Jesus that's how this promise is going to be kept. We thank you how this encourages us to know and understand your promises, because this is where our confidence can be rightly placed. And we thank you that we can trust you, the God who is faithful to his word. Amen. We're going to sing our final hymn, Lo, He Comes.